This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan again at this time, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. I'm happy to be with you there in your home, your car, your penthouse, or your airplane, wherever you are, maybe down there on the camp at the river somewhere, catching a nice mess of fish down here in South Louisiana. Folks do that. They have a camp down on the river and are on the Gulf, and they go out there and spend the weekends, sometimes spend a night or two, and catch a big mess of speckled trout or redfish and bring them out and fry them up. The Old Trailblazer would like to be there with you this morning. Or maybe you're up there somewhere on the Great Lakes listening to me on WCKY, Cincinnati, Ohio. Wherever you are, I hope you are. I hope you're listening. I hope you enjoy and appreciating the message. And I wish you'd write me. Just tell me what station you're hearing me over. And now I want to tell you we're on the Internet with our regular Sunday services here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers. We are broadcasting over the Internet. If you go there to our website, radiomissions.org, and you scroll down to live broadcasting every Sunday at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and then Wednesday night and Sunday night, 6:30 on Sunday night, 7:30 on Wednesday night. They're live. Those broadcasts are live. Live as I can be. Some folks say I'm not very live, but I bring you God's message day by day, time after time. So if you would, you write me and I'll send you more information. I know I don't give you all that information, but I will give you my website again. It's Radio Missions, www.radiomissions.org, and you can find a lot of this information right there. And then my mailing address, the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. We're bringing you a series of studies on the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we're looking now, have been, at the rapture of the church. Many folks deny the rapture. Many folks say that we're going through the tribulation now. Many folks say there's a split revelation, a split millennial, all of those things, and they don't know what they're talking about, my friend. But I wish you would listen. The Lord has given us an insight here into what He's doing, and we're bringing you a study on the rapture. The rapture of the church. In our last study, we were looking there. Now, at the rapture, Christ comes as the bridegroom. He comes as a bridegroom to take unto Himself His bride, according to Matthew 25:10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, my friend, I use that expression in my messages here many times. Not necessarily this door, but I think about the door of mercy. How that one day, those who will not have Christ to rule over them, the door will be shut. And I use this example. Noah was a righteous man. He found grace in the eyes of God. And the Lord God of heaven gave him instructions to build an ark because he was going to destroy civilization. All those things, the Lord said it repented him that he made man. But he came down there to Noah's day, and he said, Noah, build me an ark. Told him how long to build it, how high to build it, how wide to build it. Put a window in the top of it. Only had one window and one door. Door was on the side where the animals could climb up in there. And I had a man tell me the other day, well, you know those animals couldn't have stayed in there for no whatever long they stayed. Look at all the, look at, I said, no. The Lord created them. They did what He told them to. Noah didn't have to go out and round them up on like a roundup in the fall. No, they came there. The Lord moved their instincts to come there. But 120 years He built on that ark. Folks helped Him build on it. Well, no way He and His three sons could have built it. And He had folks helped Him. And He preached day in and day out, all the time. But you know what the point I'm trying to make is? The Bible says, and God shut the door. God shut the door. I want to tell you this little story I read in one of the old divines. He said this back there during that time. He said there was a family lived down the road from Mr. Noah. And they had a little tow-headed boy always hanging around down there where the ark was. And he would go home and he'd say, Daddy, Mr. Noah says that God's going to destroy this world by water. And he said, oh, boy. Stay away from down there. That old fool don't know what he's talking about. Just stay away from down there. But he came every day or two, and he'd listen to Mr. Noah talk, and he'd tell him, son, the Lord's going to destroy this place, and everybody that don't come in the ark's going to drown and perish. And it kept on all of those years. And one day it began to rain. One day it began to rain. And the little boy, he said, "Daddy, look. Look out there." It never had rained before. They had never seen rain. The ground was moistened by the dew in the morning. And he said, "Dad, come look." And his daddy looked, and sure enough, it was raining. He didn't think too much about it. After a while, the water got up to the porch. And the little boy said, "Daddy, Mr. Noah," he said, "Oh, Mr. Noah don't know what he's talking about. Just cut all that out." After a while, the water came up in the living room and up in the kitchen. And they went upstairs in the upper part of the house. And the water got up in there. And they got up on the roof. And he said, "Daddy, I told you. I told you, Mr. Noah," he said. "You wouldn't listen." He said, "We could have come into the ark, but now the door is closed. Now we're going to perish." Now, my friend, that could have been a real story. It's true. What he said was true. Now the door is shut. Oh, but listen. And we see here that the bridegroom came and called out. And listen now. He says, and the bridegroom, and the door was shut. The door was shut. Yes, someday, some moment in the near future, our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, will lay aside his priestly robe, deck himself in the garments of the bridegroom, and leave the portals of heaven with a shout to come and take his bride, that is, take her by force from this earthly scene. The scripture says he will come with a shout. The pent-up energy of all these centuries will be let loose in one shout that will awaken the believing dead and call the living believers to come forward to meet him in the air. It will be a shout of victory, a shout of triumph. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. Revelation 22:20 is the cry of the heart of every born-again believer as they wait for their Lord from heaven. For in Ephesians 5:25, we find these words, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any other thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. At the revelation, Christ comes with his bride to rule the nations." Now, let's get that. At the rapture, he comes for the saints. He comes after us. He comes to receive us. At the revelation, Christ comes with his bride to rule the nation. Revelation 2:26. "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter, they shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." Then in Revelation 19, it says in 15th verse, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God." After Christ comes for his saints in the rapture, at the beginning of the tribulation, as set forth in Revelation 4, we will be with Christ in the air while he pours out his wrath upon a Christ-rejecting world. And then at the close of the tribulation period of 7 years, he will bring his bride back to this earth on his honeymoon, and she will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years in glorious splendor, according to Revelation 20:1-4. Now, my friend, how anyone can deny God's word, I don't know, except they're blind, except they don't know what's going on. But listen, Satan has them blinded. Surely he doesn't want folks to know the truth. At the rapture, Christ comes only to meet his saints in the air. Get that now? Dr. Copeland would say, get that. He only comes to receive his saints, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. At the revelation or unveiling of the Christ, he comes to the earth, and his feet shall stand upon the same Mount Olivet from which he went away back to heaven on that glorious ascension day, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, he shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then, if you'll turn with me to Zechariah 14:4, you'll find this prophetic statement concerning that. Coming back, his coming back. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. Now, you say, Trailblazer, you get all excited. I sure do. Because my heart goes out to those individuals who will not have it, that Christ is coming back to reign and rule on this earth after the 1,000-year reign, after the 1,000 years. But listen, my friend, listen. Let's face it. The rapture may occur at any moment. There's not one verse of Scripture that needs to be fulfilled before the rapture takes place. Now, I wish you'd get that. I don't have time to deal with that right at this moment, but we will in our next study. There's not one thing, listen, the rapture may occur any moment, because Matthew 24 says, 4-42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. If I could drive anything home to the hearts of my hearers, it would be to watch. Watch. Other scripture says there'll be two in the bed. One will be taken, one will be left. Two at the mill, one will be left, one will be taken. There'll be all of those things. There'll be building and buying and selling and all of those things. But my friend, listen, the Lord may come today. He may come tonight while you're listening there. Wherever you're listening, the Lord may come. And let's ask the Lord to do that. Send the Lord. Oh, I know. I have lost loved ones. You do too. But you know they're in the Lord's hand. Every individual, saved or lost, is in the Lord's hand. He knows all about them. You know the scripture he says? He'll wipe away all tears. The Lord said he'd wipe away all tears. We're not going to heaven to meet Mom and Papa, my friend. All those old sentimental tear-jerking songs. No. You know what? You know what the believer, God's child, looking for? To see the Lord. To see the one who died for him. Did Christ die for you, my friend? Are you aware? Are you keenly aware that your sins are all under the blood? I am. Folks ask me, how does the Lord save a sinner? I said, washing you in the blood. We have a song that we sing sometime that the blood goes deeper than the stain. You know, we're stained. Our old bodies are stained up with sin and all of those things. But the blood goes deeper. And then I made a statement the other night at the service that the Lord has enough blood put away for every soul who will ever be saved. He's not running out of blood. No. He's not running out of pardons. He has plenty of pardons. He has plenty of mercy. He has abundant pardon. And Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you a lost sinner, my friend? Some of you folks have written me, are you still lost? Are you lost? Christ came to save just lost sinners. That's right. That's right. I met a man outside the church the other morning. I've been invited him in. He's a street person. And he said, no, he smelled bad. He stunk. He's an old wino. I said, come on in. The Lord died for stinkers. The Lord died for stinking men. He died for the old man out of the hog pen, the prodigal son. He came home smelling just like a hog. Would you turn to the Lord in whatever condition you're in? You might have been laying out all night drunk somewhere, and Lord, dealing with your heart, turn to Him. Oh, you can't go back to drinking. He won't allow you to do that. But listen, this is the Old Trailblazer. I wish you'd remember my mailing address and write me. It's the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Tell me what station you're hearing me over, and pray for me. Would you do that? And help me with the broadcast. Dig up that old coffee can and send me $100 if you will. Say, go on, Trailblazer. Preach the truth. I have folks do that. Say, keep on keeping on. And then until next time, goodbye and God bless you.